Today is January 30th, 2025, and you're listening to Space News First Up.
Did you know Space News offers four newsletters, First Up published Monday to Friday and sent at 9 a.m. Eastern Time? Military Space is sent out Tuesday, Space Next AI on Thursday, and on Friday, we send out a curated newsletter of the week's top stories in our Space News This Week newsletter. Visit spacenews.com to sign up.
Here are today's top headlines in space. Thales Alenia Space has won an ESA contract to develop a key element of a European cargo lunar lander. Planet announced Wednesday a $230 million contract from an unnamed Asia-Pacific customer, the company's biggest deal to date. A hypersonic weapons startup founded by former SpaceX employees raised $100 million. Companies working on NASA's Artemis lunar exploration effort say the current architecture remains the fastest way to return to the moon. NASA effectively ruled out any major changes in plans to return the Crew 9 astronauts from the International Space Station, despite comments by President Trump and Elon Musk. The U.S. Space Force's Space Rapid Capabilities Office has picked 10 companies for its first accelerator. And an emerging partnership between Apple and SpaceX on direct-to-device services caused share prices of others in that market to fall Wednesday.
First Up is produced by Space News, the industry standard for professional space journalism. Visit spacenews.com for breaking news, policy updates, and original analysis.
We begin today with news that Thales Alenia Space has won an ESA contract to develop a key element of a European cargo lunar lander. Thales said Thursday the contract, worth nearly $900 million, includes work to develop and deliver the Lunar Descent Element, LDE, for the Argonaut lander. The contract includes mission design and integration of the LDE, which would be responsible for transporting and landing the spacecraft on the moon. Thales said Argonaut's first mission in the 2030s is expected to deliver navigation and telecommunication payloads, along with an energy generation and storage system, supporting commercial European exploration of the lunar South Pole. ESA is also positioning Argonaut, which has a capacity of approximately 2 metric tons of cargo, as a potential asset for future NASA Artemis lunar missions. Planet announced Wednesday a $230 million contract from an unnamed Asia-Pacific customer, the company's biggest deal to date. Planet will build, launch, and operate Pelican high-resolution Earth observation satellites, reserving a portion of the capacity for the Asia-Pacific customer that works closely with a government agency. Planet also will obtain imagery for other government and commercial customers with those satellites. The company said it will recognize that $230 million over 6 years. A hypersonic weapons startup founded by former SpaceX employees raised $100 million. Castellion secured $70 million in Series A funding, led by Lightspeed Venture Partners, and $30 million in venture debt from Silicon Valley Bank. Castellion aims to disrupt the hypersonic weapons market by applying commercial space industry practices to missile manufacturing. Hypersonic missiles have become a key priority for the Pentagon as China and Russia advance their own capabilities. The company's co-founders previously were executives at SpaceX, and its advisors include Mike Griffin and Lisa Porter. Companies working on NASA's Artemis lunar exploration effort say the current architecture remains the fastest way to return to the moon. During a panel about the upcoming Artemis II mission at the SpaceCom conference Wednesday, executives said they were encouraging their employees to remain focused on their programs, amid rumors the Trump administration may seek to revamp or even cancel Artemis. Those officials said dumping the current architecture would not allow NASA to return humans to the moon faster. The Artemis II mission has slipped from late 2024 to April 2026, although the NASA manager for the mission said they are looking at ways to move up that launch date. NASA effectively ruled out any major changes in plans to return the Crew 9 astronauts from the International Space Station, despite comments by President Trump and Elon Musk. NASA said Wednesday that it was working with SpaceX to expeditiously return astronauts Suni Williams and Butch Wilmore as soon as practical on the Crew 9 Crew Dragon that is docked to the station. NASA added that return would take place after a handover to astronauts arriving on the new Crew 10 mission. That is effectively the same plan NASA had before comments by Musk and Trump Tuesday, calling for the return of Williams and Wilmore from the station immediately, although the NASA statement does not rule out moving up the Crew 10 launch, currently planned for late March. The U.S. Space Force's Space Rapid Capabilities Office has picked 10 companies for its first accelerator. The Prime Fusion Pilot Accelerator Program is an initiative aimed at fast-tracking technologies to protect military satellites from orbital threats. The accelerator's first cohort consists of 5 two-company teams, each bringing specialized expertise in satellite technology and situational awareness, who will present their solutions at an event in March. An emerging partnership between Apple and SpaceX on direct-to-device services caused share prices of others in that market to fall Wednesday. Shares in Globalstar closed down 18% Wednesday, while MDA Space, which is building a new constellation of satellites for Globalstar, fell 9%. Apple is currently using Globalstar satellites for direct-to-device messaging, but a report this week said that an upcoming version of iPhone software will support Starlink services. AST SpaceMobile, developing its own constellation for direct-to-device services, fell 12% in trading Wednesday. In other news, Florida Today reports that a Falcon 9 launched a Spanish military communications satellite Wednesday. The rocket lifted off from Kennedy Space Center at 8:34 p.m. Eastern and deployed the SpainSat NG-1 satellite for HideSat into a geostationary transfer orbit. The spacecraft will provide X and Ka band military communication services. The first stage, making its 21st flight, was expended to provide additional performance needed for the Airbus-built satellite. The Space Force says the biggest constraint for increasing launch activity is a lack of payload processing facilities. Brigadier General Kristen Panzenhagen, commander of the Eastern Range at Cape Canaveral, said at the Space Mobility Conference that she could not set a maximum launch rate for the range after it hosted 93 launches last year. She said the bottleneck for increasing launch rates is limited room in payload processing facilities at the Cape. Rideshare launches, like SpaceX's Transporter and Bandwagon missions, are particular problems since the dozens of individual payloads require large amounts of processing space. Panzenhagen said the Space Force is searching for solutions beyond traditional infrastructure expansions and is considering novel approaches to payload processing. York Space Systems rolled out a new satellite platform for payloads as large as 1,000 kilograms. York, which has focused on small satellites, said it developed the M-class satellite bus in response to customer demands for more power and performance. The platform is designed for payloads with a peak power consumption of 8 kilowatts. The first M-class satellite will be used for an Earth observation mission for an undisclosed customer. AscendArc has unveiled its plans to produce small GEO satellites. The company, founded by a former SpaceX engineer, emerged from stealth Wednesday after raising $4 million and securing a $1.8 million Phase 2 small business technology transfer contract from AFWERC, the U.S. Air Force innovation arm. The company is working on small GEO satellites but has disclosed few details about its technology. Its first satellite, weighing less than 1,000 kilograms, is projected to launch in 2027. Asteroid mining company Astroforge has disclosed the target of its next mission. The company said its Odin spacecraft will fly by the asteroid 2022 OB5, a small near-Earth asteroid that could be metallic. Astroforge plans to collect data during the flyby to better characterize the asteroid to determine if it's metallic and thus a candidate for future mining missions. Astroforge had previously declined to identify the asteroid, but said it is doing so now to build interest in the mission and to encourage astronomers to observe it. Odin is scheduled to launch in late February as a rideshare payload on the Falcon 9, carrying the IM-2 lunar lander. Virgin Galactic is partnering with Redwire to develop research lockers for its Delta-class suborbital spaceplane. The lockers will be able to accommodate payloads that are flown on future Delta-class flights, continuing research Virgin Galactic supported on VSS Unity's suborbital missions. The lockers are designed to make it easier for researchers to host their experiments and gain experience for future flights in orbit on the ISS or other platforms. The Washington Post reports that asteroid samples returned by a NASA mission show it had the building blocks of life. Scientists announced at a NASA briefing Wednesday that material from the asteroid Bennu, returned by the OSIRIS-REx spacecraft, show it had organic molecules such as amino acids. Those chemicals were once mixed in a brine that could have enabled chemistry needed for life to form, although scientists noted there was no evidence the asteroid hosted life. Researchers said the findings show that fundamental materials needed for life to form may have been much more widespread than once thought.